And while they were eating, he said, Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, Surely it is not I, Lord. He said in reply, He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas the betrayer said in reply, Surely it is not I, Rabbi. He answered, You have said so. Today we just celebrated in this gospel reading, we hear about the Last Supper. This meditation for tonight will be broken down in two moments. The first one I'm going to speak about a little bit of the Last Supper here, and I'm going to focus a little bit on Judas and some other apostles, and the later one I'm going to focus on the agony in the garden. We're going to go through the whole night of the betrayal today. If we can try to get into the heart of Jesus. Jesus has chosen all his apostles. He handpicked them. He prayed before he chose them. And he loved them. He loved each and every one of them tremendously. And amongst one of them, he knew what they would do. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him and all the rest would leave him when the moment would come. And Jesus was troubled. Jesus' heart was very greatly troubled at this particular moment. And it would be good to help us to try to console the heart of Jesus, try to enter into the heart of Jesus, to know his anguish. Many of us suffer in our lives by many ways. There's always a betrayal, one way or another. And sometimes those betrayals hurt. We may have experienced betrayals in the past, and we can use that and those memories of those betrayals to unite ourselves to the heart of Jesus, to understand a little bit of what he was suffering. And we can remember, we can pray for the people who have betrayed us in the past. We can ask the Lord to truly help us to understand the suffering that he must have felt in the garden and help us to go forward like he did. Try to look at the attitude that Jesus had. Even though he knew that Judas was going to betray him, Jesus never ever did anything to publicly put him into the light. Even when Jesus was at the table and he sent them away, he says, do what you have to do. He never told the apostles that were there, look, he's the one that's going to betray me. Jesus was always acting kindly toward him. Jesus always calling Judas a friend. You know, Jesus was, for Jesus, Judas was his friend. All he wanted to have him as his friend. And all of us as well, my friend, my dear friends, we are Jesus' friends. But we also have a little Judas inside of us. All of us. Not only a Judas, but St. John, a little St. Peter, little Mary Magdalene, a little bit of everybody. When we look at the gospel, the characters in the gospels, we can relate a little bit to everybody. Tonight I'd like to focus a little bit about that betrayal, the betrayal. You know, each and every one of us, you know, we have our vocations, whether it's marriage, whether it's the priesthood, whether it's just being a university student, a young person. All of us, we have to ask ourselves the question, do I have a price? Do I have a price to sell Jesus? What's my price? When the devil starts to tempt me, what is he going to tempt me with? And is my love with Jesus really firm? Do I love him? Am I ready to go to the end with him? Am I ready to go to the cross with Jesus all the way? Or do I have my price? It's a good question. Because all of us, we can surely, the first thing, you know, we'd be like Peter right now, all of us would say, sure, Lord, I'd be ready to go to die with you, Lord. Okay, all right, let's see. You know, when the trial comes, what do? Are we faithful with the Lord, to the Lord? Do we go through our little sufferings, offering up, knowing that they're coming from the Lord, and knowing that it can bring us actually closer to the Lord? It's very difficult at times, because when we start to suffer, when things don't go our way, it's very easy to take the way out. It's very easy to start to accept those 30 pieces of silver. They start to look good after a while, but it's very hard to be faithful. St. John, he was also a character in this, in all of this. And he, what St. John could be portrayed as, is the apostle, the beloved apostle, that was always faithful. He was truly faithful because he loved. He loved Jesus with all his heart. He was the privileged one who had the grace to lay his head on the heart of Jesus. He heard Jesus' heartbeat. He loved Jesus. His whole life was wanting to be with Jesus. He had a close relationship with the Lord. He had an intimate relationship with the Lord. And he was ready to protect that relationship at all costs. When we see Judas, what did Judas do? Judas wanted Jesus to follow him. Instead of following Jesus, Judas wanted Jesus to follow him. He was very distant. Everything that Jesus said, all that he taught them, all that Judas saw, it just like it never entered into his heart. I don't know what Judas was thinking, but he was thinking about himself. He wasn't trying to please the master. He wasn't listening to the master. He didn't have like a teachable heart, a docile heart. He was rebellious in his heart. He wanted what he wanted, and he wanted to force Jesus to do his will. And then when he had his little plan, his little scheme, and it didn't go the way it went, what did he do? He started to feel remorse in his heart. He started to feel, remorse. He knew that what he did was wrong. He even went back to the chief priests. He threw the money back. He gave the money back to him. He said, look, I have betrayed innocent blood. He knew what he did was wrong. But what happened with Judas? I mean, he seemed like he was sorry. I mean, it bothered him. He knew he did wrong. What was the big tragedy of Judas? Was it that he betrayed the Lord? That wasn't the biggest tragedy of Judas. His biggest tragedy was that he didn't believe in the love of God and the mercy of God. He lost hope. He lost hope. My dear friends, this is something we really have to meditate on tonight. The reason Judas is not Saint Judas is for one single reason. He didn't go back to Jesus and say he was sorry. If he would have went to Jesus and said he was sorry, think about it. We would have had more pages in the gospel, because I'm sure there would have been tons written about it, the conversion of Judas. There would have been churches named after Saint Judas. There would have been pictures of Judas kneeling before the cross. There would have been so many things could have changed if all he did was go back to Jesus and say he was sorry. How hard it is to say those words at times. I'm sorry. I love you. Forgive me. And how many times, my friends, we also, to the people that we're around, how hard it is to say to those people, I love you. And when we offend them, I'm sorry. Forgive me. How hard it is to say those words. How many times we lock ourselves up into our own little world, our own little pride, and next thing you know, we suffer because of it. We're not any happier when we do these things. Every time we turn in on ourselves, we just lock ourselves off from forgiveness, from mercy. And when we receive forgiveness and mercy, that's what leads our heart into joy. If we're walking around sad all the time, we've got to ask ourselves, why am I sad? Is there somebody I haven't forgiven? Am I being too hard on someone? Am I not willing to go or give the extra step? And also, not just to ask if you're the one that has hurt the other person, the one who has been hurt, you also have to forgive. Look at Jesus. Jesus with Judas. Even when Judas betrayed him, what happened? Jesus called him friend. Jesus was trying to save his soul to the very end. To the very end. Jesus did all he could. Many times when we're hurt, it's not so easy to forgive. The Holy Father in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, he said that when two people get into an argument, or two people, or somebody offends another person, forgiveness begins with the one who has been hurt. Forgiveness begins with the one who has been hurt. The one who has been hurt is going to feel the hurt, and they're not going to be able not to feel the hurt. And they have to take their hurt, they have to take it to the Lord, they have to present it to the Lord, they have to ask the Lord to come into their hearts, to purify their hearts, to heal their hearts, to transform their hearts, so their hearts can truly be like Jesus' heart. And as Jesus purifies the heart, and he transforms the heart, and he heals the heart, he gives his Holy Spirit. He gives the Spirit of love. And that gives us the capacity to forgive. And not only to forgive, but to love again. What does Jesus do with us when we sin? How does he forgive all of our betrayals? He forgives us. Does he just forgive us and tell us, okay, I forgive you, go get lost. I don't want to see you anymore. No, that's not what he does. He forgives us, and he calls us to an intimate union with him. Always, 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 the Lord is seeking an intimate union with us, even when we fall into our sins. There's no sin that God cannot pardon. And he also wants his children to be the same. He wants us to be able to forgive and forget. The road to true peace is not easy. It's difficult. You have to look at yourself. You have to go before the Lord, and you have to realize and be honest with yourself and say, Lord, this hurts. I don't want to forgive. I don't have the capacity to forgive. I need the grace to forgive. Please, Jesus, help me. Peter. We'll focus on Peter, and then I'll leave. Peter, he was another one that said he was going to follow Jesus all the way till the end. What was his downfall? He trusted too much in himself and in his own strength. That's why he fell, no more, no less. Finally, after Peter, when he was put to the test and he realized that he couldn't do it, and then the cock crowed, and he realized that Jesus' prophecy for what he was about to do was come true, he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly for his sin. And because he wept bitterly, you know, but the difference between Judas. He wept bitterly, but he never gave up hope in Jesus' love and his mercy. He never gave it up. He truly loved Jesus. It was a moment of weakness for Peter. Okay, his pride got the better of him, but he kept going forward. He kept going forward. On the resurrection day, Jesus said to him, "Do you love me, Peter?" 3 times. "Do you love me?" He wiped out all his 3 denials. That's how good God is. And when Peter finally realized, when he was humbled because of his fall, that's when he was capable to accept God's love, and that's when he was capable to fulfill God's will in his life. May we spend a few moments before the Lord right now and ask the Lord and look at our hearts and see, who does my heart look like? Do I have a heart that looks like Judas? Do I have a heart that's like Peter right now? Do I have a heart like St. John? Am I truly desiring to lay my head on the heart of Jesus? Do I want to be with him? Am I ready to give him everything? May we ask Our Lady, and I'm speaking of Our Lady, that's another reason why John was faithful to the end. He had a special love to Our Lady. Whenever you go to pray, whenever you go before our Lord, especially before the Blessed Sacrament, ask Our Lady to help you to love Jesus. Give her your heart. Ask her to transform your heart so you can be made capable of loving him the way she loved him. She's your mother. She loves you. She wants to give you big graces. She wants to introduce you into the heart of Jesus. When you contemplate the love of Mary, you will find the heart of Jesus. Losing ourselves in Mary's love is the surest way of getting into the heart of Jesus. Amen.